Good afternoon. Well, the title of today's study is The Winds of Temptation. The Winds of Temptation. Young or old, the winds of temptation will always blow. In a poem written by Ella Wheeler Wilcox, in a portion of it, she writes this. One ship sails east, and another west, by the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails, and not the gales, that tells the way we go. So we wanted to come to this issue of temptation, and the poetic significance of those words lies in the fact that we will always be in the crosswinds of temptation. And it is how we set our sails which will determine which way we go in life. Once the winds of temptation blow upon us, those winds will either move us towards God or away from Him. And we want to look at two ships this afternoon. Two ships blown by the same winds of temptation. But what we will see is that despite the same winds, they will go in completely different directions. One will go east, and the other will go west. So let's see this. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We're going to begin in verse 1. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1, we're going to enter into a moment in the life of Joseph, who is dealing with Potiphar's wife, and the strong winds of temptation that have now come upon her. And they will be winds that will eventually shift upon Joseph. So let's see which way that they go. So Genesis chapter 39, and let's read verses 1 through 6, and this will serve to set our scene for us here. Verse 1. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites and had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house with the master of the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. Verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of the house, and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house, and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. So Potiphar was only concerned with his food. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Let's stop there. That's an interesting last statement, isn't it? Now, we could say that Joseph was often a favorite. We know him to be a favorite of his father. We see here revealed that he is the favorite of Potiphar. And now with this transitional phrase at the end of verse 6, we're about to see that he is going to become a favorite of Potiphar's wife as well, because Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So let's continue here. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Let's stop there. So what do we see? Well, notice this phrase here in verse 7 where it says, and it came to pass after these things, that the master's wife cast longing eyes upon Joseph. So what does that mean? Well, just what it says. It came to pass, after a while, some time passed, then Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. There came a point, one day in which she began to notice Joseph in a different way. And verse 7 establishes something for us that's very important. In our search to set ourselves, in our search to deal with temptation, that search should begin with an understanding. And the understanding is this: temptation to evil, in and of itself, is not sin. Did you know that? Temptation to evil, in and of itself, is not sin to you. It's how we respond to the temptation that will determine that course. It's not the unintentional first look at an attractive body part of a man or a woman that is sin. It's the second look. It's not the accidental opening of a lewd or inappropriate website or even movie that is sin. And you realize, this is not what I expected, and you close it down and you don't continue to watch. No, that's not sin. It's sin when we kept it up or continued to watch. It's not sin when the urge to gossip hit you. It's when you found yourself whispering in that ear. It's not sin when anger comes upon you and you manage to cool down and remove yourself from the situation. No. It's sin when you unload on a sibling or your spouse or your kids. So, it wasn't when the temptation arose in my heart that sin was born. It's when I put my affections upon it. So I know, as a Christian then, I must exercise a deliberate and immediate rejection of any sinful temptation or desire at the moment I become aware of its existence. You know, I'm sure that initially Joseph was just one of the slaves in the house. Just one of the other slaves that was brought in. But one day, she looked upon him. Then she looked back upon him. And she began to cast longing eyes on him. So we can feel the wind, can't we? She began to look at him, and in her mind began to dwell upon him. And so just know that the eyes are so often the pathway to sin. The eyes, in many ways, are the path in which sinful affections come. And her eyes ensnared her heart at this moment. And as a result, what once was just a temptation became sin. And I find these words that she said striking. And we could ask, how can someone be so bold to get to this point, to say those words, "Lie with me"? How does someone even get to this point? How does someone get that far to that place? Well, the answer is, Potiphar's wife allowed the temptation to remain, and that evil desire now was at the level of her imagination. So dangerous. Absolutely so dangerous. Why? Because with our imagination, we then take forward the possibility that we might actually do what we've been thinking about. If in our mind, we've already gone so far, what's all that's missing? If in our mind, we've already gone to that place, then what's the only thing missing? Opportunity. And that opportunity would now come. Go down to verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11. So, it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside. There it is. There's the opportunity. And so she comes and she grabs him, verse 12, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so with Potiphar's wife now fully succumb to these winds, we're about to see a shift now. The winds of temptation are now going to be fully upon Joseph. How would he respond? We'll go up to verse 8 and 9. I'll spoil the ending for you. His sails were set. They were already set. Just look at this decisive stand. Verse 8 and 9. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. In fact, there's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything back from me but you." Why? Because you are his wife. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Unashamed. He is unashamed there in verse 9. How could I? How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He knew the crown that he was reaching for. And his sails were set for that crown of life. And I want you to notice something here about Joseph and his perspective. This is fascinating. This is fascinating because it's not, "I don't want to do this, oh, because I'd be hurting you." No, none of that stuff. What does he say? "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Think of this perspective. It's not necessarily a fear of punishment, is it? It's not that I'm afraid of what you, God, are going to do to me. It's, no, I'm afraid of what my actions might do to you. It's a fear of bringing down the family name. It's a fear of losing his identity. His identity was with God. And his response here is unyielding. Look at verse 10 again. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day. So day by day, day after day. It's one thing to resist temptation at the first wind when it comes. It's quite another thing to have to confirm that decision day after day. And that really brings out something that is crucial in this battle against these winds. We can never rest on any victory yesterday. This battle came to Joseph day after day, and he knew it, and he was ready for it. And the battle of temptation, those winds come at us day after day. And so my ability to be victorious is not in my ability to think back on some previous day's victory. No. My ability to be victorious is in my ability today. Today, to close or avert my eyes. To my ability today to control or shift my thinking. My ability to be victorious is in my ability today to align my affections from that sinful desire and back towards God. Every day we live our life, we have this choice. You can either move yourselves in the direction towards God or not. What's your choice? You're in the crosswinds. What's it going to be? Don't let evil desires remain. The time to deal with temptations is immediately and decisively, the minute you become aware of their existence. Get them out. Don't let them have a chance to become sin. Run, as Joseph did. Because, young or old, the winds of temptation will always blow. Yet, one ship sails east, and another sails west, by the self-same winds that blow. How could that be? How can the same winds blow two individuals in completely different directions? Ah, indeed. 'Tis the set of the sails, and not the gales, that tells the way we go.